It's closing in on 11:30 a.m. Time for Talking Animals on 88.5 FM, WMNF in Tampa. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals. Kicking off the show as usual with an animal song, in this case, a new version of an old fave sung by Matthew Sweet and Susanna Hoffs right here on WMNF.
Tell me that you've got everything you want. Your bird can sing, but you don't get me. You don't get me.
That's And Your Bird Can't Sing, an animal song of sorts, with Matthew Sweet and Susanna Hoffs there providing this new version of the old Beatles tune. As we ease in today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, and streaming live via, if I may say via, the station's website, WMNF.org. My name's Duncan Strauss, and I'll be here till noon today with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. As you may know, this is our sixth time on WMNF with Talking Animals, a show we launched in California a few years ago that primarily seeks to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your phone calls and emails, from assorted other sources as well. But we're also quite interested in celebrating animals through music, comedy, and other means. We've always aimed for a spirited balance of those elements, as you can readily glean if you care to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. Indeed, the website offers archives of all our past shows, including our initial five programs on WMNF, featuring guests ranging from singer-songwriter-activist Nellie Mackay to Temple Grandin, an internationally renowned expert on both animals and autism, to John Grogan, author of the mega best-selling dog memoir, Marley and Me. Today's edition very much extends the show's tradition of speaking with fascinating folks from all walks of animal life, with the conversation we'll have momentarily with our guest Bob Barker, perhaps best known as the longtime host of The Price is Right, but also revered for his decades-long work as an animal activist. This work extends into multiple areas of animal advocacy, very much including establishing endowments for the study of animal rights law at several prominent law schools. Last month it was Georgetown, and he's done this previously at the law schools at Harvard, Stanford, UCLA, Duke, and Northwestern, with a $1 million donation to each school. We'll find out much more about these law school endowments and, of course, about his other work on behalf of animals when Bob Barker joins us in a moment on Talking Animals. We'll also welcome your questions and comments for him in the form of your phone calls and emails. But first, as Alberto made it quite clear, we are into hurricane season. For many of us, a key part of being prepared means thinking through all the details and contingencies for the animals who live with us. So a couple of resources I wanted to tell you about. One is ASPCA.org, the website, of course, for the ASPCA, where they have a downloadable brochure that's really very well done. It's just a couple of pages, and it downloads and prints out nice, and it's just divided into sections of preparing, planning, and staying informed. But it really gives you a very nice blow-by-blow way to kind of prepare for, you know, any hurricanes or other awful things that you want to make sure your pets are as prepared as you are. And, of course, the key thing always is you never want to leave your pets behind in any kind of situation like a hurricane, because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know when you'll be back. So this covers it very well. Another great resource is one of the PETA's countless websites. I mean, I've lost track of how many PETA-related websites there are now, but a really great one for this purpose as well is helpinganimals.com. And there's all kinds of information, general information there as well, but specifically geared to, again, preparing for a disaster or an emergency and what to do and what not to do, more to the point. So, we're going to gear up momentarily to enter the comedy corner, but I had found this going through, always like months, if not years, behind in New Yorkers, but I found this cartoon that I just thought I'd share here. It's two hamsters in the foreground, obviously one's talking to the other, in the background is a hamster wheel, and the one that's talking is saying, I usually do 2 hours of cardio, and then 4 more hours of cardio, and then 2 more of cardio. Nice. Okay, it's time to really step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is WMNF's own improv troupe, Off-Ramp, with a portion of a piece called Dog Talk. Actually, you know what? I'm going to hold up 1 more second on that, because there's still one other thing while we're covering sort of odds and ends here that I thought people might be interested in. And that's a contest sponsored by the Milkbone Dog Biscuits folks that you can get in on. They're conducting a nationwide search for America's most picture-perfect pair. A dog and its owner with the most special bond or connection will ultimately appear on the iconic Milkbone Original Dog Biscuits box. So they're accepting entries for that through June 21st. And you can find out more about that by simply going to the website in question, which is www.milk-bone.com/famous. It's milkbone-bone.com/famous. So maybe you and your dog companion can be pictured on a Milkbone Biscuits box. Okay, anyways, back to the Comedy Corner. Again, this is WMNF's own improv troupe Off-Ramp with a portion of a piece called Dog Talk on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
Okay, welcome back to Dog Talk.
We have Esther on the line who has a schnauzer, I understand.
He's a schnauzer.
And what's happening with your schnauzer?
He's a purebred schnauzer.
Those are rare.
There's only one of him. And I had a question about trimming his whiskers.
It's a common problem.
My question is, hello?
Yeah, you're on. Go ahead.
I have a schnauzer.
Yes.
And his whiskers get moist.
Yes.
He's eating his food. He's eating my food. He's eating any food he gets into.
He's eating, and
he drinks water, but I think his whiskers are wet with saliva.
And you think this is his?
I know it's his, because it's coming out of the front end of him. Excuse me.
And
I want to know, should I trim him, or do they need him like antennas? The schnauzers, will it hurt him?
Dr. Brown, do you want to answer this one?
I'm not sure.
My question is, I have a schnauzer.
Yeah.
Turn your radio down just a little bit.
My radio. I don't have a radio.
Take the...
Who is this?
And I just want to ask you, what makes you feel like that this dampness problem would be alleviated by trimming the whiskers? I mean...
Well, the problem is that the whiskers are wet.
Yes, and that's normal. That's natural. I want to... And discourage you from trimming the whiskers.
Don't trim the whiskers.
Yeah,
Hang on a minute.
Okay.
Harry, don't trim the whiskers. No, he said don't. He said the dog would die or something.
Are we in time? Did we stop that before?
He can't even catch a thing. He's sitting in the chair. Okay. He's yelling at it.
Good. Well,
thanks for calling.
Thank
great.
You.
Goodbye. We just need to, you know, get to as many calls as we can.
Oh, sure, we've got a lot of people out. A lot of lines lit up.
Is this a call, or is this?
Yeah, this is Ernest.
I don't know how your system works.
Welcome to the Dog Talk.
I want to ask the doctor something.
Yes, Dr. Brown.
Now, my wife tells me that she feels it's cruel to crate train our dog. And
what sort of animal do you have?
He's a dog. He's mostly dog. There may be some wolf in him, but he's mostly dog.
Do you know, is there a breed?
He's like a long-haired, short.
How big would you say he is?
He's getting big. I don't see him too often. See, here's my problem. In order to prove to my wife that crate training wasn't cruel, I decided that I agreed to try it myself. And I'm wondering, what we have is the wire crate.
Yeah,
I know. Size 9 wire crate. And inside, I'm inside the crate, and I don't know how to open the crate. Is it a lift, or is it a sliding lock in it? Do you know?
I've
been in this crate.
Wouldn't that be part of the training?
My cell phone's almost dead.
Sounds like you've got a two-part question there.
Now, I don't want the dog. Well, the second part is, if I let the dog see how I get out of the crate.
Is the dog watching you now?
I don't know where that dog is. They put a blanket over it so I'd feel more secure, and I can't see much of anything.
Well, someone's doing it correctly.
I hear giggling sometimes when the kids walk through.
I'm going to say that your wife probably has gotten over her fear of cruelty for...
That was a snippet of a piece called Dog Talk by Off Ramp, a wonderful award-winning improv troupe. We can call our own here. They're heard many Monday nights, I should say, on WMNF at 9 p.m. on Soundstage, our fabulous original radio series, and on some other public radio stations, too. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF. The station website is WMNF.org. The show's website is TalkingAnimals.net. Where all our past programs are archived. There are pieces written about us, pieces we've written, and more, including a piece to sign up for our email list. And so you can keep posted on forthcoming guests and more. That's TalkingAnimals.net. It's nearly time to welcome today's guest, Bob Barker. So let me quickly outline a few important details about him. As I touched on a few moments ago, Mr. Barker is perhaps best known as the host of The Price is Right. And heck, he's in his 34th year of hosting the show. He's won a boatload of Emmys. And in 2002, he broke Johnny Carson's record for continuous performances on the same network TV show. Not bad. But we're speaking with him today about an altogether different, perhaps equally impressive set of accomplishments. His decades of work as an animal advocate. This includes his staunch support. Staunch stance against the wearing of fur. And, creating a foundation that, among other concerns, puts a great deal of time and resources into establishing the addressing the dog and cat overpopulation crisis, and establishing endowments for the study of animal rights at several prominent law schools. Last month at Georgetown, on the heels of Harvard, Stanford, UCLA, Columbia, Duke, and Northwestern, with a $1 million donation to each school. I find this particularly interesting, not just for the dramatic largesse, but also for the notion of providing this sort of animal rights education to those who will become the next generation of lawyers, policymakers, and politicians. So with a quick reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, let's welcome Bob Barker to Talking Animals. Mr. Barker, are you there?
Good morning, Duncan.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals. And I don't know if you heard the introduction there, but I'm really interested in delving into this whole area of your choosing to endow the animal rights programs at these prominent law schools. But first, sort of to provide some context, and this is just really one of countless things you've done on behalf of animals over many, many years, maybe we could just spend a moment on what's driving this passion? I mean, this kind of suggests a longtime love of animals. I mean, how much did animals play a role in your childhood, for example?
Well, you say a long-term role in my life. I've loved animals all of my life.
Yeah.
And I helped animal-oriented organizations financially, but I wasn't really active until about 25 or 30 years ago when I was the chairman of Be Kind to Animals Week here in Los Angeles, and I was invited as a result of doing interviews and so on. I was invited by groups to participate in their activities, and I did. And as I did, I became aware of the terrible exploitation and cruelty to animals, and I just felt compelled to try to do what I could to rectify the situation, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
Yeah, so it really is a good 25 years or so of active work in this. Yeah. And I really kind of hope to touch on the great range of work you've done in that regard as an animal advocate. But I'm really, again, quite eager to discuss what you've done at these top law schools. If I'm not mistaken, the first law school to receive this endowment from you was Harvard. Is that correct?
That's right.
And that was, in 2001 or so? About 5 years ago, I think.
Forgotten exactly.
Yeah.
I would say about then. Yeah.
Yeah. And how did you arrive at this idea, Mr. Barker?
Well, at that time, the company that owns the Price is Right, or owned it at that time, wanted to do something nice for me, they said. And then I learned that when they said they wanted to do something nice for me, they were talking in terms of as much as $500,000. And so I said, if you want to do something really nice for me, I said, you can establish a Bob Barker Endowment Fund for the study of animal rights law at Harvard. And they said, well, we'll see what Harvard thinks. And they made contact with Harvard and discovered that Harvard was eager to do it. And so they made the initial $500,000 contribution.
I see.
And when I saw the reaction to this, not only among members of the animal rights community, but also the law school,
mm-hmm.
And attorneys, just attorneys themselves, individuals, were they thought it was a splendid idea. And so I decided to go further with it myself.
I see.
I made an equal contribution to Harvard,
mm-hmm.
and have gone on and made contributions to more law schools, and will continue to do so with the thought in mind that these young people are going to be the attorneys, the judges, and the politicians of the future.
Yeah.
And they will be in a position to influence legislation and influence decisions. And I want them to be aware that animals need all the help we can give them.
Absolutely. And I really do love the idea of sort of capturing these, obviously, you know, pretty bright folks if they're at Harvard and Stanford and Duke and UCLA, et cetera.
Deliberately put together a list of what are considered the finest law schools in the country, but I'm also trying to do it geographically. I'm doing it in the East, West, and
right.
the country, too.
Yeah, no, I figured as much, but it's just so great, the idea that these people that are, like you say, are young and going to be sort of probably some of the more influential politicians, policymakers, lawyers, judges, et cetera, that's going to be part of their education and sort of will help shape them as they go out into the world. I just think that's just so great. And what sort of results specifically do you anticipate? I mean, have there already been some results that you could note from Harvard, which I think, again, was about 5 years ago that this began?
Oh, yes. And not only Harvard, but all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard from Duke, for example, has invited me to come down to the campus on two or three different occasions for conferences that they're having on this subject and all sorts of seminars that they've had. And they've invited me to come down and participate, but I haven't been able to do it because of my taping schedule. However, the various law schools have sent me reports and it's of their activities, and it is really impressive. They've had one of the most impressive things is that they are able to have their law students actually participate in lawsuits and cruelty cases, and learn firsthand what's going on and get credit for it.
Wow.
And, of course, they've had speakers of really significant reputations speak to the students. They bring them in, and they're going to have a conference out here at UCLA. I've been invited to at least attend if possible, to attend the closing dinner there. But they have about 8 or 10 of the top names in animal rights law area, And they are putting together what they believe will be the most important things that could be accomplished so far as legislation is concerned.
Wow, that is so fantastic.
Oh, it is fantastic.
Mr.
And
Barker,
they wrote me a letter and told me that the Bob Barker Endowment Fund made it possible.
Wow.
I
well,
know that I've I'm convinced that I'm moving in the right direction.
Absolutely. Well, there's a couple at least calls from listeners who would like to speak with you. Can we take some of those calls?
Certainly.
Okay. Hi, you're on the air with Bob Barker. It's Talking Animals on WMNF.
Oh, is this me?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Bob Barker. How you doing? My name is Dino M. Sanconscious. I'm the PPL VDOCAA here in Tampa. And I'm an animal rights activist member of Doors the Animal League there. And that's what we got to keep on doing. What do you suggest we do over here to protect our environment and reclaim these little reservations out here, these green zones, so they don't get chopped down and turned into desert lands?
Well, you know, I really don't have the background or the expertise to advise you, but I understand what your problem is, because our environment, we are destroying the earth, and if we don't stop draining water from areas where ducks have been able to land for years and rest during their migration, and if we don't stop destroying the forests, and if we don't stop destroying everything that gets in the way of building homes and ruining habitat for animals, there will be nothing left on this earth. And if man were not here, and the earth was left to nature, it would thrive and be beautiful, and the animals would be healthy and happy. But man is our problem, and how you convince those people down there, I really don't know. But I certainly wish you well.
Thank you. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on WMNF with Bob Barker. A short question for Bob Barker, please.
Yeah, am I on?
Yes, you are. Caller, go ahead.
I appreciate that statement as a layperson about the environment, first of all. Thank you. And then more along your expertise, I'm wondering, I've noticed so much how people who care about animals get marginalized in mainstream society. What really sticks out for me is when Paul McCartney did some stuff in the 90s about animal rights and how he just got ignored for that. And so can you talk about how to get this, you know, I mean, this is, it's a people society by definition, how to get other mammals, other live beings taken seriously as, you know, entities that deserve respect?
Well, I think that the most important thing is do whatever and everything that you can to make the public aware. Americans love animals. There's at least one pet in more than 70% of the homes in the United States. And we love our animals, but so many people, and I was one of them, are not really aware of the exploitation and cruelty to animals. Now, I don't know where you are or what specifically you might be talking about, but I can tell you, for example, that if you can do anything, and you can do it with demonstrations or publicizing terrible examples, if you can do anything to protect animals in circuses are one of the worst abusers, and particularly of elephants, and be careful about movies. The American Humane Association is supposed to be protecting animals in the production of movies. And in my opinion, the American Humane Association has failed miserably in this responsibility. And animals are abused, even killed, in movies. If you can just stay away from movies that are featuring animals, you will convince people through the of the industry, through the box office, that animals are no longer a way to attract people to movies. I could go on and on here, but I'm sure that there may be other people with questions. But
sure.
It's a matter of making people aware. Do it through the media. Do it through lawsuits. If you see something where you can file a lawsuit, do it. And anything that can get you in the papers, on the radio, I'm talking right now with Duncan. This is wonderful to have this opportunity to talk about this subject.
And, Mr. Barker, let me just let our listeners know, this is Talking Animals on WMNF. We're speaking with Bob Barker, and you can, too, by calling 813-239-9663. You can also email us at dj@wmnf.org. You know, Mr. Barker, there's so many things I had in mind to talk about, but one thing that I think I almost kind of want to move up on the list, because I know we're not going to get to everything, and you just made a reference to it, plus it's incredibly timely now, at least in where you are calling from in L.A. Can we spend a moment or two on elephants, which I know are a passion of yours and happen to be a chief passion of mine? I know you've been quite vocal in urging the L.A. Zoo to relocate its elephants to a sanctuary where there's lots of room for them to live, at least more, like elephants should. I know one of those elephants, Gita, died over the weekend. I'd just like to get your thoughts just on any or all of that issue.
First, let me assure you that the Los Angeles Zoo has been an embarrassment to this city over a period of years. And the elephant you're referring to is Gita.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to the city council approximately a month and a half ago. And in my remarks, I told them we were trying to get Gita. They have three elephants out there, Gita, Ruby, and Billy. And we were trying to get Gita out as soon as possible and get her into a sanctuary because a veterinarian from outside of the Los Angeles Zoo had told us that her foot was so infected that the bone was actually rotting and that she had to be in misery standing on cement and hard-packed earth there in that zoo. And they had her. She wasn't on display. She was hidden away. But in any event, they assured us Gita it was getting well and Gita was going to be fine. And within 2 months after that, she's dead. She wasn't well and she wasn't fine. And she's dead now, but frankly, Gita is better off because she was suffering so horribly that she is better off.
Yeah.
However, it is an example of zoos that just don't act in the best interest of elephants. All animals suffer in zoos, but none more than elephants. And the finest zoos, the enlightened zoos, the progressive zoos all over the country are closing their elephant habitats and putting their elephants in sanctuaries, and that's what the Los Angeles Zoo should do.
Yeah. Mr. Barker, we got so many calls and some emails here. I'm just going to try to blow through them quickly because we are just nearing the end of our time, but I have one email here from a listener saying, has he considered creating a program that combines his interest in animals with a TV game show format?
No, I haven't done that.
Okay. Let's take another call if we could. Hi, you're on WMNF with Bob Barker. It's Talking Animals. Quick question, please. Hello? Is the caller there?
Yes.
Hi, you're on the air with Bob Barker.
Yes. First of all,
hi.
I really like to commend Mr. Barker.
You really like his advocacy, I beg your pardon?
And for long-standing advocacy on behalf of animals. This is the one thing you've mentioned earlier is that if it were only the animals on this planet, but the planet would be in balance and self-regulating, and it's us as humans that are the interlopers. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. I just like to express the fact that we are the cause of most of our environmental damage. The Earth at this point is finding a great deal of difficulty trying to digest our existence, because we're just really kind of...
I'm sorry, caller, a quick question. We're just nearing in.
I'm just making the comment.
Okay.
And I just wanted I wanted to thank Bob Barker for his advocacy and his outspokenness on this subject.
Thank you very much for your call.
Thank
we're going to try to squeeze in one more call. Hi, you're on WMNF with Bob Barker. Go ahead, please. Quick question for Bob Barker. Hello. Hi, you're on WMNF with Bob Barker.
Hey, Bob. How you doing, buddy?
Quick question, please, for Bob.
You know, I want to know what I could do locally here. I mean, I'm a lover of animals. You know, I was just making the analogy in my head about lions and animals in, like, zoos. I feel the same. My cat's stuck in the house. I don't want to go outside. And really, the cat should be outside having fun. You know, so it's kind of the same thing. There's an analogy there between the zoo and what I'm doing my own animals, and I feel bad about that. What could a guy do locally in Tampa here? What could I do to make a difference?
Well, I don't know where you are, but if there's an organization that is working on behalf of animals, go to that organization, and if you don't have time, but you do have a few dollars, or as many dollars, help them financially, or if you have the time, find out what their projects are, and pick out one and help them with that. Our problem is that there are a lot of people who love animals who just don't get involved because they don't know how to get involved. And right. All you have to do is go to an organization that is working on behalf of animals, and you will meet people who can help you find something that you can indeed do.
Is SPCA, is that one of the organizations you refer to?
What?
SPCA?
SPCA. Well, there are SPCAs all over the country.
Right.
And go to an SPCA, certainly.
Okay, great, because that also happens to include yet another email question asking about humane societies and SPCA. So it sounds like you would recommend either or both for someone locally to get involved. That would be a great place to go if they have time or some dollars to donate.
Absolutely. Humane Society is simply a name. It can be the Louisville Humane Society,
sure,
or the Cedar Rapids Humane Society. And SPCA is the same thing. It means Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals.
Absolutely. Well, Mr. Barker, I'm sorry to say we've reached the end of our time, but gosh, I really appreciate you making the time to join us on Talking Animals quickly, because we didn't get a chance to talk about it. I just want to give a website that's important for people to know about. It's the foundation that you set up in the name of your late wife, Dorothy Jo, and your mom, Matilda Tilly. It's the DJTFoundation.org, which, again, we just don't have time to talk about, unfortunately, but it's very much devoted to dealing with the pet, cat and dog in particular, overpopulation crisis. So I urge people to go to DJTFoundation.org. And, of course, we always want to spay and neuter our cats and dogs, as you say, at the end of every show of The Price is Right. So thank you very much, Mr. Barker, for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Duncan, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals on WMNF. The show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email list. Check out our archive shows. Make suggestions for future guests or topics. Check out written pieces and photos and more. That's talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune, pretty much like any version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related. There'll be a prize, like tickets to see Dom Herrera, really one of the best comedians working around today, on Friday night at Side Splitters right here in Tampa, or a copy of a CD put out by PETA called Liberation, featuring more than a dozen bands, to the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies the song I'm about to play. I'll give you a huge clue. It's tied to The Who Are All Right, an all-day tribute to The Who that M&F is presenting on Saturday, June 24th at Skipper's Smokehouse, starting at noon. So at this point, this is practically like asking who's buried in Grant's tomb, but hey, it's Name That Animal Tune on WM&F. Hi, can you name that animal too? I'm sorry?
Earth spider.
That's right. Okay, can you stay on hold? I'll come back and talk to you when we finish up the show. And you have won Name That Animal Tune.
All right, man.
Cool, thanks for playing. Okay, well, that just about concludes this edition of Talking Animals here on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. I'll be back. It's a monthly show now. It's the second Wednesday of each month. So July 12th, August 9th, September 13th, you get the idea. Check, visit our website, talkinganimals.net, and send any show-related email to talkinganimals@AOL.com. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And for any talking animals, night owls, or early birds, I should let you know I now host a weekly music show here on WMNF every Thursday morning from 4 to 6 a.m. If you keep those kind of hours, please join me. Meanwhile, we're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal song. This is the late, great Jimmy Smith with Back at the Chicken Shack. Please stay tuned for NPR News coming right up here, and then Democracy Now!